tapes are in other places. So I had to go get it and get a memory stick and bring it in. But I have to find the place where it is. So how can I do that while setting this up? So let me play a song, eat something for a second, and we'll relax, and you guys can go to the bathroom or whatever you have to do. Or if you master going to the bathroom while engaging here.
Master,
haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You've mastered that.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank. Frank seems to be a reasonably nice person. I haven't seen all that he wrote tonight, but he was saying good stuff last week. But he says, Aikido. I think he's posting maybe something earlier that I can't go back and find, because it's very hard to draw my marker back. It just won't stay proper focused. So, Aikido. Bob, I got to go. You have a good dialogue going right now and didn't want to interrupt. See you next week. I'll be more prepared next time. Well, he doesn't have to be prepared, but that's good if he makes some kind of effort, but it's always the same. So Leah says, check below. So Aikido left us a massage. So Frank printed it. Good. So I see a crypto goes, oh, where am I from, Frank? So it looks like Frank's fighting with crypto. Let's go back and see what crypto's doing here.
They always have in the past.
Frank, I go back a bit and says, yes, Connie, you have the machete. So I don't know what you said.
Oh, wow, that's a ways.
Yeah, Connie says, don't mind me. Don't mind me. I used to be an enforcer in junior high, beating up the bigger boys who were teasing the younger kids. Oh, isn't that nice? And Connie brought up her mafia background. So Gene says, Tinkerbell the enforcer. Frank goes, yes, Connie, you have the machete. Gene, she skips and dances around her enemies. Yes, Gene says, she smokes them with one look. Oh, that smile, oh, that twinkle in her eye. Yeah, found one. I took some searching, Aikido, and it's earthquake off the coast of Japan. Then Gene says, correction, it took some searching, Aikido. Frank says, gives the measurements, 4.691 kilometers northwest of Valinor, Chile. And then there's a long quote by Eugene Parcel. Oh, partial differential equations. You lay out the definition of them, right?
Yeah. Fluidity.
It's fluidity. Yeah, it actually relates to what the big insight may be. So we'll hold that there. Then Gene goes, relevant ion, and quotes ion, we're trying to get you back to the place where the force field no longer includes death. Yeah, the idea is to get ascended, go through the death process and all that you can learn from your death, which is an expanding experience, without dying.
That's the very last statement in Roxy's relevant ion video.
Oh, she prints that? It's
printed, no, she plays that. It's from Revelation chapter 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it's audio, not visual.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I've heard the first 15 minutes, and then Ion's playing with the word relevance and revelance and that, playing off revelation, right? So then Frank quotes me. He's pretty good at getting me. I don't know if he knows where to go get them or he types it, but he goes, Bob said, the one-eyed king is considered an hallucinating idiot by the blind. Yeah, that's a quote that McLuhan said. You might be able to find that on the internet. Gene, just swim and float in the chaos. There's no chaos, Gene. There's just different senses. The discontinuity of acoustic space is different from visual space. And then your media are different as extension of that. This is what we're engaging. It's not chaos when you know what the shifts are made up of and what causes them. Media synesthesia. Why would it be called chaotic? There's nothing chaotic going on here. It's just straightforward. It's chaotic to someone who doesn't know what, is not familiar with the
The discussion, chaos was referred to or described in the discussion that was going on at that time.
Yeah.
So I was just saying that you just swim
in the chaos. That's bad advice. Don't swim and float in the chaos.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah, very bad.
Cancel that. Somebody
pretending you're doing it. You go, wee, you fucking laugh. And then Gene says, now, people's icons. Remember?
The false premise of exhilaration, Bob. It's the false premise of exhilaration.
Yeah. Which is fun. Remember, we're enjoying all this surface illusion.
Yeah. Yeah, we...
And Zappa said, remember we said, it was the interviewer from E! Entertainment of Jim Carrey. Says, aren't you interested in any of these icons and spot people? Are you quoting that when you say the naivety of people's icons? Because I said something like that last week.
Yeah, I was quoting you, whatever you guys was going
and
on.
And then Leon goes, Bobby, B-A-B-B-Y, or Bobby, I was born this way. So I must have said something. Okay, so here comes Crypto. He says, remember I mentioned the dial tone era? He says, I miss the dial tone era. The whole internet was a chat room. See, he's nostalgic for the simpler clicking days. Or he's pretending to be nostalgic. You know, how much does one engage the statement? Is he being provocative? So, Ari 331 comes in and says, hello, he hasn't been around. A few more people came tonight expecting fireworks, I think. So Leon goes, Outback, steaks and fried onion.
That was when Pamela was on and had the echo, the Aussie.
Oh, she's in the Outback. Yes, that's right. And he's got a picture of him laughing and being shocked, showing his quadriphenic postures. Then Crypto says, hello, RA331. Gene gives the articles alternating veracity. Leon goes, the put on. I think I said put on. You guys didn't notice it. It looks like Leon noticed it. Black woman, says Leon. Bob, you killed it. Good job. Leon complimented me. I was counting on Leon, pretending he understands me and celebrating me. I put no reality in it. There's no communication going on here, Leon. Remember that. I'm not just pretending I'm human, okay?
Neither is Leon. I think Leon's doing exactly... He's mimicking you, Bob. He's doing exactly...
Yeah, he's learning well. Number 11 says, I think the reason Hollywood hates Trump too much, is that they know they are all just media projections with no substance. They assume Trump is just as full of shit as they are. This is because of the Celebrity Apprentice show. Okay, remember, you cannot use categories. This world of Hollywood is not bullshit. It is part of our bodies. It's organic. Media are nature. But your relationship to it determines your somehow level of occludedness or addiction or dependency. The whole thing is prepared to be comfortable when it's all taken away from you, including your life. How do you stay comfortable? That's what the issue is. So they're not full of shit. They have all kinds of different chemical body criticisms, greedy, trustful, loving, entertaining. So, I missed the last line. This is because of a Celebrity Apprentice show. They would trust a career politician more. So he's saying Trump is showbiz. They're fucking liars, and they don't trust him. Yes, he's a man to pretty well everybody in all quadrants.
Yeah, Bob, that's...
The Coker quadrant. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the image. And if I don't care anymore what I say on the radio because it's not... I'm not attached to any image that I'm projecting here.
You better start fucking caring. I'm very careful of what I say. You got here. Bert can prove it. He's listened to this shit 500 times. Thousands of times. Could Bert tell you to his wife that he's learned? No.
Are you holding on to that image you got there?
No. I'm mutating right in front of everybody on the protein powder. Come on, explain how the human mouth was left side of his body and and his knee was up near his ear, and everything was all twisted around.
He has to custom make his, have his jeans custom made because his thighs are too huge.
Yeah. But see, watch your words. I'm very careful about what I say, and usually I say something and I spend a lot of time canceling what I said.
and what I said. You can't do what I say all the time. So why?
Sometimes I let you ramble on and make mistakes, and I don't care. It doesn't matter.
And you say, yeah.
I can resist. You should be doing the same thing. Every now and then you become crypto and hate everything associated with this evening show.
Well, the...
One should be crypto.
Listen.
Put on his attitude.
Okay.
Look at
to be cynical now, Bob. I really will.
It doesn't have to be anything. It's your neighbor. You just talk about your mind, which is your neighbor that's occupied you. All right? Your neighbor is being cynical, not you. But number one, he wrote that. I think the reason Hollywood hates Trump, blah, 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 they assume Trump is just as full of shit as they are. Crypto said, look, Lauren is thinking about stuff. You see, the critical world of academia, they think they're developing critical perspective. They say Americans and people don't have a critical perspective, and they think in humanities they're developing how to be a critic or how to be critical and not to be sucked in, which is what Ian's doing too. But they think people need to think more. It's only here if you start being a critical expert, you get fucking put down. You're thinking too much. They can't say that in academia. The academia hooks up the value of thinking, right? They're helping you become creative. Only we dare to say there's no such existence possible anymore. But that makes us very creative.
Only if you dare. Yes.
Right. Crypto says, abandon the creeping crystal. Now, that's pretty cool. I don't know if crypto knows what... I said abandon the creeping meat... Our Crumb back in 67, 50 years ago, said abandon the creeping meatball. Now... Baby boomer hippies might know that phrase. Maybe crypto knows it. Maybe he got it from me, but he's changed it. Abandon the creeping crystal, because I did say Baudrillard puts down the crystal. So, that's in the... Crypto is paying a fucking attention to what's being said. Right there, anyways. Before, he never really talked about it. Maybe he would criticize, but... Then he says, the prophecy can't be seen from here, which is good if it's true. See, that's... He's trying not to think while he makes a thought. He's not saying it's true. The prophecy can't be seen from here. Now, anything you say, crypto, is contradicted by it is its reality. The prophecy can be seen here. It is seen in this show, thanks to Ion. Everything that people think is not being done is being done. And that includes doing things. That's not being done either. Or is being done. I may have got that backwards, McCoon once said. He actually did. He was talking about cliche. I mean, later on, he says, I may have got that backwards. So, and that's not on the radio show. We'd say something and say, well, I may have got that backwards. That was one of our in-jokes. Crypto will type that out now. I may have got that forwards, you'll say. Aikido, I got to go. And then Crypto gives the monster magnet. He's really sucking up to me. He's yelling out, you know, Zappa, 1966 term, the monster magnet. Then, did you type this up, Gene? Or did I say it somewhere? America was the first country formed stating that citizens were equal before the law and not under an oligarchy. This is a major achievement. I did say that a little while ago. Did you type up what
that's
you remember?
That's a quote from Revelation.
Oh, it says there too, eh? But did you hear me say it tonight?
We talked about it, yeah. That wasn't specifically word for word what you said, but we talked about it.
Crypto says, look to your orb for the warning. Now, Ion's given a very important definition of the orbs. Frank says, Ion said we did not go to the moon in this world. Ion also said at one point that all Ionettes were not from this world. We didn't even realize that until Ion told us, and until the Mandela effect residue showed up. The Ions are the last to catch up to any significant change. This likely includes September 23rd. Right, and maybe even our ears. probably your brain, your head, is not keeping up. Then Crypto says everything has eyes. Frank says, we are circling the bobcat. Crypto, we're all jive turkeys. Crypto, I can only see Bob with my ears. That's a good statement. Crypto's actually, he's been away for 5 years studying up with Bob to catch up and find out why Bob thought he was a fucking asshole 5 years ago. And he's done his homework. He's sort of saying the right party line stuff here. Right?
He's been listening.
And wasn't Crypto the first person who you initiated closing the chat, and that's why they left?
Yes, we stopped the chat because of him.
Yeah, I remember now. I could remember. I'm like, yeah, he's gone. That's
they were distracting in the wee
chat.
Hours.
Did you say wee hours, Gene?
They were distracting. Yeah, they're crippling us.
Yeah, what happened? We played music for an hour or two, and he wouldn't be part of that. And as soon as the music was over, we were talking, enjoying the music, he'd come in. And I told Bill to shut it at the end of the music, because Crypto will come in then. Because there's no music to distract people. And, you know, he was there for a while, but then we stopped it. And then he disappeared, and then we just carried on. But there was a period. Yeah. So what is the meaning of Crypto on September 23rd? He is the old monster. The old fucking terrorist, right? The bad news, the horrible moment that we had to wait for. And he showed up here totally chastened, totally domesticated and friendly and not being himself anymore. So... tonight, yes, because what? Because he doesn't have anything to bother us about. So there was no negative part about September 23rd. So all these people saying the hurricanes are okay, oh, that's preparing for September 23rd. No, it's probably a good thing. I mean, I had my big insight the other night. That was good. So all good stuff happens on our September 23rd. So Pamela says, sorry about the echo. I think I've got it figured out now. I didn't know Ion said that. Confirms my suspicions. What is she saying Ion said? I don't know what she's saying Ion said. About
maybe
the echo? Did Ion say something about her phone?
Maybe what Frank said in the chat just below.
Oh, okay, all right. Crypto, Ion can tell you what world you're from. Look at him. He's all programmatic statements here. Then Gene quotes Ryan Mandelbaum. That's after I said the title. Did you put it up, or did you already put it up?
It was after you did. Yeah, it was when you were going through the notes. The
article. There's all those four or five links there to all that stuff that he mentioned. So Frank says to Crypto, relax, Crypto. You are definitely from. Crypto goes, oh, where am I from, Frank? Then Frank tells me Okito's message. Then Leah tells me to check it. Pamela goes, to something Gene says. Then she laughs at me. Then Leah says, Frank's on it. Crypto says, Frank is on the memory stick. Brent, I'm here but I'm not. It's even Brent's listening. He must have come home from a Saturday night fucking
Hey, he might be drunk. Call in.
Yeah, Brent's probably drunk or stoned or something or got a sore dick, overused it tonight, or a sore mouth, depending on what angle he did his tactility. And Crypto says, I'm not here where I am. Yes, Crypto is here now and not being his traditional self. Brent says, 23rd has reinforced, in fact, I am very good-looking. The 23rd has reinforced the fact he is very good-looking. See? Something happened to him tonight. Newsflash, Monster Magnet is a rock group from the 90s and is still rocking today. Okay, is he typing that in response to me just saying that? Yeah, this is at the top, I guess. He says, I'm going to deliver a message to Bob tonight. Yes, we're willing to take any messages. I hope I'm home to receive it. Then Frank says, and now for a well-approached musical interlude. So that's all said 11-8. That's basically just said now. Brent, I'm drunk and stoned. No sore dick. So yeah, these are all very recent postings. They're running to now. This is new news from Crypto, Frank, and Brent. Brent says, 23rd blueball me like no other. What does that mean? All these women came up to him, said he's really good looking, and then they didn't let him
and he got
do anything with it. Yeah, he got pimped a lot. I guess that's what he meant.
He got all the way
good looking.
And they left him.
Yeah.
High and dry.
And because he was good looking, they thought he was game for their trickery. So I'm looking for what Crypto has to say. Remember, Crypto, anything you can say will be held against you, not me, because nothing of relevance can be said. Brent goes, where's Ion? He's right here, Brent. I'm doing Ion. I am Ion. Then Brent says, I have a bone to pick with him. Watch it, Brent. That means you're going to have a bone to pick with me. You might be dropped from the team, this Tuesday team of what youth, so be careful. No more extracurricular stuff for you. So let me see if I got someone muted over here. Yes, I do. Hartford, Connecticut. That's probably Brent. Are you Hartford? Oh, no, that's someone else. I'm not sure.
That Crypto?
Or Nick. Nicholas.
Hi, Bob. Oh, Nick comes in on these strange American numbers.
South Africa.
Did you have something you wanted to say, Nick?
Hi, Gene. Hello. How's everybody? Yeah, 22nd, 23rd, 22nd, I was thinking of you, Bob, your number, your day.
Yeah.
22 comes before 23, which is really great.
Yeah, still happening.
Yeah.
Some order.
Yep, some order, yeah. 23rd, 10, and before 24, which we should be in at the moment, so...
German's election. Does anybody know? Are they predicting the Nazis will win? Does anybody know if she's going to get back in? What's the poll say?
Merkel. They're surprised by the polls are showing that the right is stronger than they want it to be.
Ah, than Merkel wanted them to be.
Yeah.
I mean, Roxy has said for a year or so, Merkel will lose. So I said, what if she wins? And she's not, it's not going to happen, but we'll see. But the, so Roxy, she went to, that's a Sunday. Oh, that's today. So they're voting on Sunday.
On a Sunday.
I think they vote on the 24th, right?
Yes.
So Roxy drove to work today. It's election day. It's the Armageddon day for them.
Oh, well.
Yeah, The polls opened up 8 o'clock here, so they've already, they're 22 minutes into the voting.
22 minute mark. So look, it doesn't matter if they're a fucking alien. He's in a global post-human environment. No politician is able to do anything of any fucking consequence other than the disaster that the collective public is doing to itself every day. I got into rhythm there and Carol started bobbing her head along with the rhythm of it.
The disaster the collective public is doing to itself every day. That's a new rap song.
I'm going to tonight. Many excerpts stuff.
Beyond belief, Bob. I have
any perceptual strategy.
Well, absolutely. You just beat the roll.
Yeah, it's been foreplay for
beginning now. Big brain arrived.
Yeah, I'm gonna blow your brain.
Good.
So I'm gonna just take a break here. We had enough foreplay. I've come three times during the foreplay, so I gotta relax, build it up again, so I can really do my job, right?
No drop show, Bob. Just restructure, hey?
What'd you say about the drops?
Said never no drops for you. Just restructure. All right.
Right. So Brent laughs at what we said, and then he says, "I'm surrounded by people sleeping on tile floors, but yes, I am not muted any longer." All right, Gene. The disaster the collective public is doing itself. Bob, it needs to be translated. Now, Crypto is put into the in-quick. Crypto location: Portoland. I know it has been a long time, but I've been on the case, and I finally found the white whale, Richard. Wow! If he found Richard Meltzer, I'll send him $1 million. I found the white whale, Richard Meltzer. He moved into my hood and is apparently socially active. We should talk about how I should approach him. Very good, Crypto. Crypto has fucking redeemed himself. Remember, that's the project we started 8 years ago. And I don't know if Crypto knew about that back then. Maybe he did. But hats off to you, Crypto. If we, this is so, email me your phone number. I used to have it. I don't know. I don't know if I have it anymore. I don't remember your real name, which is my, what it might be under. But yes, the, how did, that's a good story. Why don't you come on and tell us about it?
Yeah.
You know, Meltzer, your homework for this week, Bert, and anybody else, is to go to my dialogue with Scott Woods. He ran the Rock Critics blog, and that should be on the timeline where we analyze Richard's book. It was like the first baby boomer rock criticism in the 60s called The Aesthetics of Rock.
Was that the clip that you blew? Is that the clip where you blew Scott Woods' mind about rock? And he, is that the dialogue?
Well, why do you say clip? It's a many hours of dialogue.
Okay, because I remember one that you did something about rock music, and it blew his mind. I remember.
It was 1999, A History of Rock and Roll. And we did that when he first met me. And that's when, yeah, he couldn't function for a year or two after. I kind of depressed him. He lost his sense of purpose from all that I said. That's an article called The History of Rock and Roll, which might be in that book that someone put together. But he was just rooming with Dave Neufeld back then in 99. And I was in Toronto and I met them. And in this little booth that Dave had in his kitchen, that's where we sat and did the article. So, but then, many years later, we did a series analyzing Meltzer's book. And he was a graduate of Yale, and then he got into pop culture writing, rock writing, which was not seen in 1966 as a healthy way a PhD should go, you know what I mean? You know, the rock press, it started with Crawdaddy, Paul Williams Crawdaddy, and that's like 66 or so. 66, 67, and then Rolling Stone shows up in 67, and then Rolling Stone gets established about 1970 or 71, something, I don't know what scandal, Manson or something, and starts covering it. Someone laughs?
That's
background. Okay, so, anyways, Meltzer was a, you know, highly educated in the humanities guy at Yale. And he knew about McLuhan and all this stuff. So he starts writing about rock in this highfalutin kind of talk, mixed in with a punk attitude or a, just enjoying himself. Let's find out who that guy is laughing. Yes, is that you, Brent?
Dude, get on the futon, man. You're on the fucking floor right now.
The futon. Look, he gets on the fucking futon. That's Brent talking to his drunk young people around him.
Yep.
Are you loud at me, Brent?
Brent,
too loud. We're not making, if you're talking to us, we can't hear you. What is he on
the
two sentences behind.
What?
He's on the two sentences behind. He's on drunk.
Fine.
No, he says he's
on the floor.
Maybe not. He doesn't know he's on the line. Sounds like.
Yeah, I can't see. Nick is Hartford. Could he be Hartford? Hey, could you speak, Nick, for a minute?
I think he's back down,
Jude. Yeah. You're back on the
free time. Hartford line. Okay, Nick. Hold it. Just to stop. And then. Okay, no sound. Now speak, Nick. Yes, I think he is the Hartford connect, so I can mute him.
yeah, that's
can I mute him? Can I hear him? No, I can't hear him.
Right. No, you're gone now.
I thought we could still hear him, but he couldn't talk to us. So, Brent, we were listening to you. Looks like he muted himself. Okay, so Meltzer, what were we saying about Meltzer?
Well, Bob, about which Scott Woods interview? I'm
good
at question. 5.
Okay, so you, are you looking on Rock Critics?
No, I'm looking on your 5-body timeline.
Yeah, I'm on your timeline.
5-body timeline. Where's that? You mean my
your
big timeline? Yeah,
that's the black and white. Has everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not, and
it's,
you've got
the one that mentions the history of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia at the top.
What year?
Yes. I mean, but there's a bunch of conversations with Scott Woods, and the only statement is with Scott Woods. So how do you find the one with that's about Meltzer?
It'd be the most recent ones. But if I go to Rock Critics, let's see.
What year?
Rockcritics.com and find the area that he has me in, then I can post that. I think that would work. Rock Critics Archives Index. That's not good.
Was it with Dave Neufeld?
No, it's me and Scott. Rockcritics.com. Okay, there it is. So you go to the rockcritics.com. He interviewed all the historical rock critics, and then mine's in a special place. Maybe I just put in search, see what comes up. He set aside a special place for me because I didn't fit the exact rock critic, you know, definition. So, November, Architectonic, yes, there it is. Okay, Architectonic, quotes, excerpt from it, and then you go here. I'm going to be able to give you the exact thing, the Dobbs files. All right, there's 13 episodes done in 2010.
Wow.
And maybe you wouldn't have dug it 2 years ago, 5 years ago, but I think you would now. So I'll post it here. And I wanted Meltzer to hear it. So I've been trying to find him. Oh, Brent's saying his friend fell off the futon. That's why he was laughing. So you see that? rockcriticarchives.com, audiovisual/index-dobbs.html. So you go there.
Thanks.
And you will you will look at it. It's nicely laid out. See, it says episodes.
Wow.
Scroll down.
Wow. Yeah.
And so we go, and it's got nice notes. So we go through his book, The Aesthetics of Rock, which was his college. I don't think his PhD; it's his master's thesis. So he wrote he was one of the first to talk about pop culture in academia at Yale in a radical way. So we go through the book, drift through the book, me taking out quotes and super explaining it, giving the ground for what he did. And it'd be amazing what he whether he'd survive listening to it. I mean, he can easily he's kind of a dismissing person. Like, he puts down all the famous rock critics and everybody. He got out of it by 1970, but he started still writing articles reviewing wrestling and other non-hippie zones, you know, radical for back then. And then he formed his own punk group. You can actually, I'll try to find, he's being interviewed somewheres in the late 70s in short pants, like I do in Mesquite. So he looks like a nice, interesting guy, very socially critical. I think we one night talked about his description, criticism of Cameron Crowe, who's a Rolling Stone young rock critic who got to be a Hollywood director. In his movie on Rock Life, he has Lester Bangs be a character. So Meltzer and Bangs sort of compete. As you'll notice, look at the top there, the Dobbs files. Bob Dobbs, paramedia ecologist, McLuhan archivist, and translator Phoenix Wake. It should be McLuhan, Zappa, LaRouche, Beter, name all the holy offices archivist. But, you know, people can't take it all in. And translator Phoenix Wake reads rock criticism aloud like it's never been read before, while Scott Woods does his best to make sense of it all. A continuing series of probes on Richard Meltzer, Marshall McLuhan, Lester Bangs, James Joyce, and all. It's probably awesome. What I said is even more meaningful now. And look, I did it just when we started being on the radio, November 2009. Then a little bit into January 2010. So crypto may have done an incredible service to humanity if we find Meltzer. Now, Meltzer can be a guy who's not interested in anything about himself at all, you know. But we do need to tell him so that he knows, and then his own other selves can look into it.
This is cool, Bob. There's an article that's linked on the Dobbs Files for one of your audios. It's tactility as unknown. Excuse me, tactility as unknown tongue. Bob versus Finnegan's Wake versus McLuhan versus Meltzer.
Yes, Meltzer comes up with the phrase unknown tongue. See detailed analysis of Meltzer's unknown tongues theory, which is what, again, it resonates with what we were saying. We were trying to talk about how you talk about the present without limited to verbality. You got to come up with an unknown kind of tongue. And that's what Ted Hebert was trying to do. Try to be an unknown tongue or use his tongue in a new way. These things will be, yeah. So you didn't know about this at all. This is new.
No.
I didn't have any notes on it.
There was something Ed posted a while ago of you and Dave and Scott Woods talking about rock, but not this.
Right. I should send this to Ed. He can post it, make it visible, because it's what I'm really talking about. You know, pop culture, music. It's the intellectual explanation, now I realize it, of my DJing. This is the effect of perceiving the cause. I mean, I'm describing intellectually what I'm at as a consumer and producer of music, and then I acted it out a few years later, becoming the greatest DJ ever. So this is the greatest DJ's manifesto.
Okay, now at the bottom of this page, on the bottom of this page, under more stuff.
Yeah.
You've got Bob and
here.
Ben.
Yeah, that's 36 hours of me and Ben. Ben being the Marxist and me being the McLuhanite and arguing via Frank Zappa.
God, I don't remember this either. Oh, this is a treasure.
Yeah. I gotta go post this on my Facebook page right away. See, now, here's an example. Now, everybody is basically. But
They're so fun.
Well, for you, for
Nick Hamler. Yeah. Box 101 on the best DJ in the world. Make the rest of your life now listening to Bob and Meltzer go down another rabbit hole.
Yes.
What do you think of the report?
Bob, no money, no time, no nothing, Bob.
Stage of apprehension, Nick. One.
Dangling gaily. What were we going to say? I was going to post this.
On Facebook.
Let's do a test on crypto. Crypto enhances disaster on the chat line. So he comes in, we have a disaster, September 3rd, so it retrieves him. But crypto... He became a
You have Celeste crypto. You have Celeste crypto.
Yeah, when now he's back. Down to and back. In the action of being we needed to know about Meltzer, the unknown tongue that just refuses to get connected. He was playing around in Portland. Like 10 years ago in a group called Smegma. And Smegma is like the residue on your foreskin, I think. Right, Carolyn? Or is it residue eye dirt? Sleep dirt? Is that what it's called? Foreskin, so Smegma. And I just got to look for Smegma, but it's a punk group, whatever it is. It's pretty obscure, you know. Where are you going to see it in Portland? He never found it. But maybe... okay, so I got to go back to see if crypto has posted anything more. No, Leah. Leah up there in, I don't know, rural British Columbia, I think. Crypto says, I should listen to that. Crypto fell for the rabbit hole. But, you have so many ammunition, so many types of ammunition, you can't avoid Bob seduction. There's no fucking way you can get
out. You're just blowing up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Frank says, and Frank's a very good name. He may not be a real Frank, but you know, Frank is Zappa. I'm of course Bob top secret DJ manifest was released to reveal on the 23rd of December. Yeah, a huge rabbit hole. Put that in the field. Huge rabbit hole discovered somewhere in the universe. It turns out to be the memories of a DJ who's unemployed.
South African reveals huge rabbit hole in
yeah.
quadrant.
That's right. Happy sinkhole. Which is the only sinkhole because he goes on about the singularity and the black hole and the getting to the edge and coming back. He teaches us how to search the black hole. Yep.
No, it's more like sinking sand, Bob. More like sinking sand.
We're thinking sand.
Thinking. There's no thinking around here.
So let me get to go over to my home base and be ignored at Dobstown while I... What? Where the hell? I didn't... usually
Facebook.
Lingering here on the bar. I can't believe I deleted it. That would cause another 10 seconds effort of going over to the other place to get there. just a second here while I go over there.
You don't today, moving here and there and...
Yeah, well, it's always much to be done here. You see that in McLuhan's letters. He's always going on trips and lecturing in other parts of the world, and he comes back, and he's a professor with a classroom. He says, I'm 3 weeks behind, and my room clothes pop up. I can't talk to anybody. And then he's off, and it piles up again. He's endlessly behind in his scene. Okay, so here we go, clicking on... Luckily, the Internet... it was working. Got ornery. It won't go. I'm there, but it won't go any further. So we'll go over here. I'm sorry to make myself such a dramatic dream queen here.
No, but this is what makes it authentic. This makes your show authentic, Bob. This will make
authentic. I think it's just being really like bothering me.
Nick is turning into recognizing the disservice of Dobstown. There's something wrong here.
He's circling.
23 characters wrong. You know, nothing.
Circling uncertainty.
No, what happened? Look at this. This show is great so far.
Well, that's happening in my world, Bob.
Yeah. And there it is. It says Dobbs Files, and then it has the link. So, wonderful. New discovery for the latecomers to my scene. We're still working our way towards... Now, Madeline, do you want to say anything?
Maddie!
I think Madeline would love this, the Rock Files archive. That's pop culture. She likes that kind of stuff. Look at that. Crypto says, for years I searched for Smegma because he knew about this. I don't know, Smegma, did Scott tell you this about that, or did you hear us talking about it, or did I ask you to find him? I talked to Crypto once, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Pamela goes, that's disgusting, Crypto. Oh, yes, Ken, we have a scheduled appointment with Pamela at some point. I don't know, Pamela, when it's going to happen, when we fit this in, but I was very busy doing my cataloging the last 2 weeks. But it's pretty well done, and I'm freed up for slack activities, like talking to ignorant Australians who have no fucking clue where they are here.
South Africans out of that one there, Bob.
Nick. Long John Silver, Nick. That's what Nick sounds like. I'm Long John Silver. That's what it is. No, what did you just say, Nick? You said something there about South Africa.
I'm glad you left us South Africans out of that one. We're not going down that rabbit hole.
The same
bunch of lonely outcasts there. lucky they got the digital body so they can come here, but you're still
kangaroo, Bob. That's all I got. They got a kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Pamela. Good one, Bob. Good one, Bob. Everybody's laughing. So I'm going to play some music and retreat and gather my coordinates. triangulate, and but I'm always willing to hear someone go on about stuff. I could shut up and do my stuff while you talk. Does anybody want to talk about anything? Which reminds me, I'm looking at the timeline, going down to 2009. Let's see how it's listed. You did you find it, Gene? The dates. You know what's really interesting is our dialogue with Kurt Davis, the black guy, Occult Science Radio. That was our first interaction, Ion, with the New Age culture, say. But it was the black take. They were Egyptian. They worshipped something in Egypt. But I don't see Scott Woods listed, Gene. Do you?
I'm looking now. I'm looking for November 9, 2009, which was the first one. November 9 with Scott Woods. Conversation with Scott Woods. November 9, 2009.
It is November 9th, eh? I was just scanning.
Yeah,
see it. It's kind
of
hidden.
There's no detail. It just says with Scott Woods, and there's a bunch of them that says
it's
identified as.
Oh, I'm looking 2008. Okay, yeah, it doesn't give a title.
It just says with Scott Woods.
Right. Oh, yeah, there it is. So it's listed there in the timeline.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But there's a bunch of them.
Let's just
it's
hear
not
the
just
opening.
One. You have 13 episodes. That's hours and hours.
Right. Let's just play the first minute or two. How does this start?
Well, wait. Go to the Dobbs files and pick one because there's summaries of each episode on there. Pick one that you want to hear.
No. I just want to hear how it begins. Well, I could just click on the beginning one here, but I got to make sure my Soundflower is working here. Got to set it up. Soundflower. Output. Soundflower. That's usually what all I have to do, right?
Skype. You got to do something with Skype.
Input Skype. Switch back.
Right.
Left.
And some about your headphones.
Headphones.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The headphones are plugged in. Okay. So, going to number one. Because Scott is very nervous. He doesn't know. He has a reputation back then for this rock critic site. It's a top site. He interviewed all his people. He knows. He doesn't know what I'm going to say. So he doesn't even know why or anything. So does it start?
Okay, so
here?
Bob, now while you're playing this, you're going to go look for the head blowing.
Yeah, I'll start doing stuff. But I'm not going to play very long. I just want to hear the beginning. Let's see if I've got it here. Yeah, see, it's not coming up. So what do I need to do? Skype is, I assume, connected. Soundflower. That's output, right?
Yes.
Unplug that. Oh, maybe sometimes the dial goes back down. No, it didn't. So how do we make it be heard?
What's the deal with Skype?
Skype just exists.
Sometimes Bill has to do something about it. Okay, so
unless we disconnect and we don't know. So, Bill, maybe we should reconnect our Skype. It's been many hours.
So Skype has to be on, Bob? I wanted to know this for months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It has to, okay.
That's how I get to how I broadcast to the radio.
And Bill has to connect you to Skype? You can't do that on your own.
No, because I connect with him. Well, I could call him, but he usually calls me. So, Bill, I'm going to, if I disconnect, is he listening to me?
So, it looks like you're connected now, but you could have frozen up or something, and that's why you're not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So disconnect.
Panic
disconnect.
It doesn't take time. I'm hitting the panic button. Bill.
Bill, I really try to avoid him hitting the panic button. I want you to know that.
It says my, there it is. Yep. Okay, here comes the Skype. All right, so I think that makes a difference. So here we go.
Scott Woods here from...
Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody, and then I'll start it.
All participants are now muted.
Scott Woods here from Toronto. I'm chatting on the phone with Bob Dobbs in Maui. Bob?
Yes.
Okay, it's November 9th, 2009. I chatted with Bob back in 1999, so almost 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but that was for a site called Popped. Bob and I talked about rock history, and Bob put it in his own inimitable Bob sort of language, and I wanted to really chat with Bob again as a follow-up to talk more about rock critics, and obviously this is in part for rockcritics.com. So without any further ado, Bob, let's get right into it. So I sent, just as a way, another way of an introduction, I sent Bob a whole sort of package of articles recently by the likes of Richard Meltzer, Chuck Eddy, Frank Kogan, Lester Bangs, Greil Marcus, a couple other things, and I just wanted to sort of, you know, chat with Bob about those, maybe throw get him to throw some of that stuff back at me and sort of explain it all. So, but Bob, before we go directly into the articles themselves, I just kind of wanted to, you know, start with a few other things. So just to give some of the rockcritics.com listeners a bit of a background on some of your recent activity, you do a series of, I believe it's weekly chats with the writer Ben Watson, who's the author of Frank Zappa's Negative Dialectics of Poodle Play, and I'll put a link up to those chats. They're really amazing chats, and you and Ben basically talk a lot about, you do talk about Zappa, but that's often kind of seems almost like sideline material, but you tend to talk a lot about James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake, McLuhan, Marx, sometimes Freud, you know, whole sort of range of stuff. So one thing you guys have kind of mentioned on a few occasions, and I think this is maybe going to be relevant later on in the interview, so I wanted to sort of bring it up at the start. Can you just give me a really sort of basic kind of explanation of the Joyce, James Joyce, Wyndham Lewis, I guess you call it the dialectic? Because I think you guys have alluded to the fact that you two have that dialectic going yourself, and I assume, Bob, that you're kind of the James Joyce and Ben is the Wyndham Lewis. But I'm also sort of thinking of it in regards to, like, even Lester Bangs and Richard Meltzer in some ways. And I think you've also related it to Zappa and Beefheart. But I don't know where you're going with that. And I'll tell you off the bat that I know a little bit about James Joyce and very little about Wyndham Lewis. And I'm not asking you to, you know, fill in all the gaps, for all the blanks for me on that, but, you know, whatever.
Okay, so the dialectic between Joyce and Lewis is what you want clarified.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, they were both born in 1882, and Wyndham Lewis was born in the Bay of Fundy, which is the bay that surrounds Nova Scotia in Canada. And right at the isthmus where the bay, it could be cut off, Nova Scotia could be an island, but there's a little isthmus joining with New Brunswick, and there's a place called Amherst there. And that's where Wyndham Lewis was born. He was the son of an American businessman, happy-go-lucky guy, and a British woman. I think that's the way it is. So they split, and Wyndham Lewis grew up in London. And I think she was a pretty culture vulture mother, you know, sophisticated. So he got into art school real early. And he was a genius at painting, which is sort of like Beefheart as a young genius in sculpture. You know what I mean? He was a young prodigy. And Wyndham Lewis, 1920 pictures, he looks just like Don Van Vliet, which is interesting. So Wyndham Lewis, what else to say? So he was a Canadian, but he had British citizenship also. And so, and when he fought in World War One, he fought as a Canadian, but then he also did stuff painting for the British troops. So he's always in between. Okay, so he's a painter and an intellectual and a thinker. Joyce grows up in Dublin, and he's a singer. He's a musician and a thinker and all that. And so you have, as McLuhan would lay it out, you have the eye man Lewis versus the ear man Joyce. And so Wyndham Lewis set up, created the vorticist scene in 1914, and he had his colleagues, Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot and a few other people. And Lewis was the Frank Zappa of 1966 bursting on the scene. He was so powerful, you know, everybody learned from him. Because he'd been in Europe in the knots, running around because he left art school, you know, at the age of 18 or so, and done that and was really good at it. And then he ran around, learned what was happening in Europe. So he knew more what was happening in Europe by 1914 than the artists in London. So it's just like Zappa. You look on the cover of Freakout, he's got 179 names, right? For his generation, he was the most well-versed in all kinds of music. You follow that, Scott?
Yeah.
So that's what Wyndham Lewis was. So here's a guy looking like Beefheart, but having the impact of Zappa in 1966, back in 1914. But then when he went to the war, he got shocked and traumatized by the war, and that changed him. Okay, so James Joyce is discovered by Pound, and he's in Switzerland, 1916, and he's writing Ulysses. And he starts reading Wyndham Lewis's Enemy of the Stars, which is published in the big magazine journal that Pound and Lewis put out in 1914 called Blast. Okay. And this Enemy of the Stars is prophetic. It's the most, you know, hallucinatory thing. It's theater of the absurd already and other things. And that influenced Joyce, and he changed his Ulysses and added a little more hallucinatory aspect in the Circe episode, which was near the end of Ulysses. Plus, he was influenced by the Dada scene in Zurich. So Lewis had an influence on Joyce, and they became friends around 1920 when Joyce moved to Paris. So they were buddies, but Joyce's Ulysses in 1922 really put Joyce on the map, and Lewis wasn't getting that much publicity, even though they both put out novels about being an artist in the teens. So Portrait of the Artist's Young Man, I think, had an impact, but Lewis's book, Tarr, T-A-R-R, came out in 1919, did better for a moment. And okay. So it looked like Lewis was going to be the writer of his generation. But then Joyce one-upped him with Ulysses. And Lewis, very competitive or something, he withdrew and got upset about that. So he was out to nail Joyce in a way, or outdo Joyce. But he understood what Joyce was working on. He had influenced Joyce, and they both studied anthropology and all kinds of things. They were eclectic minds and equal geniuses. And back then, if you're an independent artist, you had to get publicity to survive. You had to make a scene in the newspaper world. So Ulysses made a scene being pornographic or whatever, right? And it was banned. So Lewis, he got attention by being the outsider critic and satirizing even the avant-garde of London, the Bloomsbury Group. So there always was this competition and appreciation, love-hate relationship between Joyce and Lewis, like Beefheart and Zappa, you know? Okay. Lewis took on, he saw what Joyce did, and I really recommend you read The Art of Being Ruled, or Time in Western Man, where it has Wyndham Lewis's essays on Joyce and many other things, and they're really brilliant essays. And he's staking out his position opposite to Joyce. Joyce he sees as an ear man lost in the flux of time, emotion, and sentiment, whereas Lewis is the hard-edged, almost scientific, literate, objective guy, which he calls the school of space. And Joyce is the space of the devolving school of time, and Lewis is the school of space or the eye. So it's eye versus the ear. And Joyce knows this, and you can see it all the way through The Wake. There's a whole section where there's a debate between him and Lewis, and he's quoting via puns. You have to know the references to know what's happening. In the polyglot language of Finnegan's Wake, if you know the references, you can see that it's I-Man Lewis confronting the ear man Joyce.
Okay.
And it's called The Mooksie and the Gripes, The Fox and the Grapes, Aesop Fables, what it's based on, and it builds from there. So you have Lewis not being sort of emotional.